I will just, I don't know whether that is what you want to become, but it's in particular focusing on the child and some of the behaviors that children display that we can learn from, and that I will share some scriptures. But if we can we just pray? Heavenly Father, I want to really pray that this morning, the worship, Lord, that we to make you, Lord, the center of our life, to enthrone you, Lord, to through the day and through the night, Lord, to worship you and to make you our desire, Lord. Pray that this morning, Lord, indeed, Lord, as we read from your word, as we share, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will do the work, Lord, in our lives. Lord, that we can really hear from you and be changed, Lord. One degree, Lord, of glory closer to you, Lord. Lord, that we can really make a difference, Lord, in this town, Lord, and in the place, in our family, in our work, Lord, wherever we are, Lord, that we can make a difference and glorify you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know, becoming a child, a lot of, we might say, but how do we do this, and as I was thinking about this, what do we need to do, and I think I was reminded of Nicodemus. When the Lord came and said to him, he said to him, I tell you the truth, you must be born again, or you must be born of water and of the Spirit to see the kingdom of God. And that might be the same question that we might have a question here. How can we become a child again? Do we now need to? That's basically the question that Nicodemus asked, And if you look at the scripture on the next slide there, what the Lord himself said. He said, I tell you the truth. In the same way as he told Nicodemus there, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that is a profound statement, and it actually, when you think about it, it says, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that is like, on the one hand, frightening, but on the other hand, worth investigating. And in another verse in Mark 10, verse 15, basically, saying the same thing there at this, the same time, but recorded in another gospel. It says, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. And those things make us think, are we being too adult that we cannot experience the kingdom of God? Are we being too conscious of things, that we cannot enter the kingdom of God the way that we really want to? I think there's a desire in our heart that we want to get closer to God. And I looked a bit, unfortunately, we moved house and you don't have then telephone or internet or anything for the next 4 weeks, if you start too late with organizing it. But, I looked, not that I went through the Bible, but I did actually look it up on the internet, that the word child and children is so extensively used in the Bible. It's actually, if you take a normal, new international version, it's more than once on every page. If you count them all, obviously it's more than once on some pages, but it's over 2,000 times, the scripture talks about children and child, and obviously about us being children of God, but also about how children, how we should become like children to experience the kingdom of heaven. And I'm sure that if I would ask around this room today, give me a few words what is this behavior that children display, that we should be displaying so that we can change and become like little children? I'm sure I'm going to hear like something like childlike faith or trust, you know, those kind of words. And that is, some of them I want to explore this morning, but I have, not gone to those words in particular. You know, I've you can see on the next slide, I've used words like no worries. You know, I know I was in Australia just recently, and I heard this sound such a lot. You know, no worries. So I thought, this sounds good. You know, that those kind of things that children do that we can take on board, that we can experience the kingdom of heaven here in Swakopmund, you know, in this place. Now, no worries. You know, we've probably seen, as some of the older parents, you know, some time ago somebody stood up here and said, you know, there are these old people on this side and these people that are going to die soon, you know. But so it's those people, you know. They have probably seen their children during a school play or so, you know. You know, they're waiting for their child now to come onto the stage, and then the child comes on, and the child is like looking and there's Dad, and you know, forgetting all about the other children, forgetting all about the audience that is there. I've found my parents, you know, and waves and smiles and all these kind of things, you know, and. You know, the child is almost performing something that is just performing for the audience of his or her parents, you know. And I think that is one something that our Heavenly Father or our Heavenly Dad also wants from us, you know, to really be excited about every day about Him. You know, that we can say, this excitement that you see in that behavior of a child, you know, that. But somehow when we grow older, you know, we become conscious of these things and we become sour, you know. and I was standing, I remember two instances, you know, I don't know why I sit normally at the back, maybe I'm too conscious of myself. But, you know, in the Foundations 4, you know, I saw a group of young men really enjoying themselves, you know. And I see some of them here this morning. But you really, you know... And I thought, that is getting excited about. And I'm sure the Lord looks and says, you know, those are my children. They're getting excited about me, you know. But and that, yeah, that we don't, that we don't are so conscious of, you know, we can't do this and we can't do that. There were some young people from the hostel here, you know, and they were, when the music was going, they were having this. You know, this movement, you know, and it's exciting to see how they, you know, enjoying themselves. And that's the first thing. There's this kind of no worries about what people think, you know. Because if we want to experience God every moment of the day, we need to really, you know, meditate on Him day and night, you know, delight ourselves, and we sang this morning one of the songs, you know, that it was just this complete focus on the Lord, you know, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And in the last verse there in Matthew 22, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind, you know. And that is that thing that one sometimes sees in a child, you know, to that we can take on board. You know, it is okay to get excited. It is okay to be, you know, but childlike. And I think Nicole was saying one morning here, you know, during worship and during praise, and that, you know, don't be too cramped up and too worried about what other people think. You know, and as I prepared this and as I was going through this, you know, I know this is talking to me, you know, and it's why I found it fascinating as I was preparing this week, you know, as I I was actually sitting in Windhoek, had some breakfast with my mother, and I watched little children there next in the table next door, and they were just, and I thought, I must focus on this. I want to preach about this, just how they behave, and it is amazing when you actually take time, what you see. Let us not be concerned about what others think. God created you like He created everything else, with the capacity to fulfill your purpose, and your capacity is not altered by what you think or what anybody else thinks. You mustn't measure yourself against the accomplishments of others or what others achieve. It is tragic if we allow other people to actually determine what our potential should be like, what we should be, how we should worship the Lord, We shouldn't give them the right to determine and define, what is success. And I think Mark was saying this morning, let us not focus on material things and those things. Success is defined in many ways, We should perform to the audience of one, and that is the Lord, our Heavenly Father. So let us not be concerned about always fitting in, because if we do that, we can never stand out. God created everyone as an original, and I'm sure He wants us all to be originals, So let us not try to become copies of one another. So, old people, younger people, become children. Now, the second word I used is in the next slide there. I said jump. And it's again just a picture that I thought about, and I then looked to find one like this. And you see little children, whether you're doing like this, they can't even properly walk, and then they jump into the pool towards their parents. And fully. No doubt, that the parents will catch them. You sometimes see little children being thrown up like that. You think, oh, I hope the parents don't drop it, But the child laughing and having full, trust and no doubt at all that the parent will catch or, keep them safe. Now, if we want to experience God's hand in our lives, working in our lives, I think that this, if I can, make a comparison there, is that we need to also lose control so that we can give Him more control. That we can jump and know that, here we're losing it. We're losing control now, but we have to trust God. Because he has a unique and great purpose for each one of us. Now, we need to get excited. We need to find that a surprise and thing that He has for us. And if we don't go and jump, I think we can miss out. In Romans 8, and I think it was also mentioned this morning. This particular verse. In all things, God works for good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. That trust, no doubt that God will take care, is something that, as we grow up, we often say we need to have this in control. We need to have this, and we won't jump before we don't know that it's safe to jump. Now, there are certain times where we just have to. We have to go and give the Lord the control. Because as the further in that chapter it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He didn't spare His own Son, He gave Him up for us, so won't He also graciously give us all things? That is what the scripture says, And one reason we fail to progress sometimes in our spiritual walk is that we're quite satisfied with the measure of success we have or where we are at this stage. And you know, the belief that we've arrived keeps us actually from getting to our real destination. You know, there is, we need to become dissatisfied with circumstances that restrict and limit us from, you know, spiritual growth. You know, our passion to experience God's kingdom must be, you know, must be greater than our comfort that we experience right now, you know. So, and how does, often it's difficult to, you know, how do we make this step? And often a crisis is the only time where we actually, you know, get into this, where we're forced to jump. You know, we are forced, and we mustn't always, you know, underestimate a crisis. You know, when a crisis happens, you know, I think many times we look back and we say, wow, that was amazing. You know, how I grew through that, you know, the growth that I had through that that particular crisis. Because, you know, if we at that, those times, often we actually then hand over to the Lord. You know, and it's, so maybe we must, maybe there's a case here for, you know, causing some crisis in our life so that we can, you know, that we have to jump. Because, you know, it doesn't, you know, I have a thing here that I said, it's not what happens to us that matters, but what we do with what happens, you know. And I think, I thought there of, you know, if something happens, it is what we, you know, the handing over to the Lord is what really matters, not what we, the particular thing that happens. It is how we hand over to the Lord, how we take an opportunity out of that, because out of that crisis or something. Because if we don't jump, we won't know, you know, whether we can fly. You know, and it's, you know, if God designed you to be an eagle, then, you know, we shouldn't be a pigeon. You know, and we all know the thing about eagles where, you know, the mother like pushes the little eagle or eaglet or what do you call it, out of the nest. It's never flown before. You know, never, and it's, if one thinks about it, it's amazing. You know, that here it goes, it falls, and it starts flying, because with an eagle that doesn't fly is not an eagle. You know, so if it stays in the nest, you know, then it will never be an eagle. So likewise with us, you know, if we lack purpose and focus, you know, we will never discover whether we've got wings and whether we can fly, you know. Because I think it must be a thrill for that eagle to fly once it, but there's first a feeling of falling. You know, you're falling. And it's the same way, I think, with jumping. You know, I don't know what the child always experiences. I probably have done this also while I was small. You jump and there's some fear, but then you get caught and there's joy. You know, and so that jump is something that I want to say, you know, because, you know, there's a scripture in Isaiah 40, verse 31, that says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So, you know, like little children, jump, you know, so that you can fly, because you, I think the Lord has big plans for each one of us if he created us so uniquely. You know, and I wanted to ask a special lady to quickly come and share something that, you know, they, Hannelore and Daryl come every Tuesday morning, you know, at 5:15. They come and pick me up as we go to the intercession. And this, you know, we've moved. No, they didn't know exactly where we're staying. And I heard this. I was standing on the other side of the street because the house has got two entrances, you know. So I heard something, you know. So they've got a Land Rover, you know. I heard this noise, you know. And I said, oh, they're in the wrong side of the house, you know. I went on the other side of the house now, you know. So I thought, no, I'm going to run through because by the time I'm there, they is probably here. And they came around, and when we stopped at Mark and Christine's house, we thought, you know, the people had probably thought, who are these idiots, you know, driving around here at 5:15 in the morning, making such noise, and then they, but there's something, they're going to some, you know, two doctors' house. They probably need help, you know. But, and then they asked me, do I want to lift home? You know, I said, no, it's all right. You know, we don't want to embarrass the doctors, you know, because then they think the doctors don't know. They didn't help these people, you know. They still go around driving, waking everybody up, you know. But I want to ask, you know, Hannelore, I don't know exactly what she's going to share, but I want to just ask her to share something because at our intercession, we were talking about sharing something, and Hannelore thought she wants to share.
Thanks. Hi, I just wanted to share something about Foundations 4, and I would like to call it the before, the during, and the after. We know by now, or should know, that each one of us is so special to our Daddy God. We are little children and the apple of His eye, each one of us. We also know that we should be free of all baggage of the past, etc., to be able to really hear His word, to be able to hear what is on His Father heart, and to be able to be His hands and His feet in this earth here. So it came to Foundations 4, and the before was when we came on the Monday evening, we were handed little booklets, and we were told to go home and pray and let the Holy Spirit be our highlighter if there was something that He pointed out that we still needed to hand to the Lord. And so each one of us did that, I'm sure. And what was highlighted by me was, I get quite, when I stand in a queue in a shop and things don't go quite the way I feel should be going, I get irritable. And unfortunately, it doesn't stay there. Irritability goes into criticism and being judgmental. And that's not a good thing. So I really handed that over to the Lord. And then came Friday evening. And wow, what a beautiful, amazing time we had, Friday and Saturday. It was all about praise and worship. And as we know, we enter God's courts with praise and thanksgiving. And you know, the way this whole thing was set up, this whole Foundations 4, was just so different to 1, 2, and 3, because it was all worship. And as we worshiped, the Lord really showed us more baggage that we should hand over to Him. And you know, during that time, it was, as if the Lord held this enormous sponge, which was filled with fragrant, rose petal water, I would almost like to say. And He just washed and cleansed me completely clean. And it was just the most amazing, amazing feeling. And for about 2 weeks after that, I was really on such a wonderful high. And I praised the Lord all the time because I was indeed set free of this irritability. And blow me down, I forgot that on the 25th or around about the 25th of each month, I think more than half of Tsokopmund gets paid. Not as pensioners, but it came to payday. And it was after a church service that I decided to go to a special shop, let's call it that. I saw already the many, many cars that were parked outside, but I decided, thank you, Lord, you set me free. I'm going to walk into the shop. I only needed a couple of things. And I walked in, and you know, I stood there and I thought, no ways. But I decided to go in. And I think I must have grabbed the last little trolley with one basket on. And they were just not, it wasn't just mothers or fathers, but it was whole families that did their shopping that morning. And, but I knew I was set free and I was not going to get irritable. But you know, when it came to queuing up by the till, you couldn't really find which queue belonged to which till. They sort of made a turn. Anyway, I stood. And when it came to my turn, the system had actually crashed. And I do pay by card. And you know, I'd unpacked my 5 or 6 items that I bought, and I just looked at that lady, and I said to her, you know, where is your notice board that says, as I walked into the shop, to, you know, you can't buy or pay by card? And what I did, I turned around and I packed my stuff back into the basket, turned around and I saw there's no way that I could move my little trolley along the back into the shop. So I walked right past that lady with my trolley as if I'd paid for the items, and I pushed it to the manager's office, and there I parked it and left it. And I walked out with my head held up high and a smile on my face, thinking I'd done the right thing. But you know, I got into my car and I drove home, and then it hit me. Yeah, I maybe wasn't so irritated that day, but you know, arrogance is a very bad thing. And I would like to share with you in Psalm 25. It was actually the psalm that the day that I gave my life to the Lord that really spoke to me, and it still speaks today. God is not finished with me yet. And you know, I really, really had to confess. I had to repent, but I'd like to read this to you. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Thank you for listening. Yeah.
Thank you, Anna Laura. It's really great to, you know, we see people that have been walking with the Lord a long time, still every day, you know, there are things that where the Lord wants to show us new things. And, you know, I want to just carry on with another word here. I call it passion. You know, on the passion, you know, we often see children showing a lot of passion when they do things, you know. And an example, you know, if a boat that is stationary, you know, you can turn the wheel there and do what you like. This thing is not going to go anywhere. This is going to stand. You can, you know, it won't even do anything. But if you start moving it, you know, even if it goes just slightly, and you touch that wheel, it will start going somewhere. And that's the same in our spiritual walk. I mean, you can't really call it a walk if you're standing, but you know, if we're stationary, the Lord cannot direct us and take us to where He wants to take us. So, you know, we have to move. And I think this is where I just want to, the word passion, you know, it also doesn't matter if we do something, you know, with passion and it just doesn't work out to everybody's liking, you know. But it's better to fail at something than to excel at nothing, you know. So we just have to get up and try again. To sit and as like the boat, we're not going to go anywhere. So, you know, the moving. And I think, you know, if you see okay, it's difficult to see maybe, but these children are really passionate about what they're doing there. You know, and Satan is afraid when men and women have passion for God, because they take visions and dreams and they turn them into actions. You know, and they, because people with passion, they don't only set goals, but they make them happen. You know, they really get into action. Now, we've read often in the scriptures, you know, that we are more than conquerors through Christ. You know, now conquerors conquer. So we need to move, you know. Passion, it could have said move or something, but I call it passion, you know. Because so often we say, you know, if we only knew who we are in Christ. But if we sit, God doesn't only want to know, want us to know that who we can be in Christ. He wants us to become it. So if we just sit, you know, we need to be passionate about him and display that passion. You know, you'll probably get a lot of critics if you've sat there for a long time and suddenly you start moving and maybe doing some foolish things in the sight of some mature people, you know, you might get criticism. But, you know, if to fulfill God's purpose in our life, I think, you know, he's got big purposes for us lined up. Let us move and let us attract attention. You know, we must expect criticism, but we must rise above it. And you know, perseverance is really the key there. You know, that we persevere. And when we take the first step and it's not the right one, you know, then, if we haven't opened the door, you know, how can God close it? You know, so we need to, if we haven't made a decision, you know, how can God affirm that decision? So it does require from us, you know, really a action. You know, I think passion. You know, history has always had, you know, individuals that moved into action, that dared to challenge. That is individuals that make history, you know. And have we really become all we're capable of? That might be a question. And is our Creator's will more? And I think he says we have an abundant life. You know, that we have life and life in abundance. And that is that we maximize our potential, the plan that he had for us. So it's always encouraging, you know, to read about people, especially older people, that just persisted and, you know, have gone and gone on and even in their old age, you know, showed a passion for something. And I read, you know, as I was preparing a bit, I read about a guy, and I don't even know whether I pronounce his name correctly. He's a Spanish cello player, Pablo Casals or something like that. Is that right? See, the music team on this side knows. you know, at the age of 85, you know, he got up in the morning very early and he practiced for 5 hours, you know, on his cello. And when he was interviewed once, you know, and the question was asked, why do you still get up that early and practice, you know, 5 hours? You know, his response was, because I think I'm getting better. I just think that passion for something is, you know, and is just something that is exciting, you know, when we see people. And I think, you know, even what Hannelore was saying this, you know, a moment ago, that passion encourages us to move and to go. Because if we want to win the prize, you know, we must run the race, and we must run it with passion. The last issue I want to discuss, I don't know if it's issue, the last word, you know, is this big visions. You know, I thought, what else is there that children display? And something is, they're small they want to be an astronaut, you know. And you think, okay, wow, that's great, you know. But they have these visions of and they're not limited by what is there at that moment, you know. And it's that sometimes they put on suits and try and jump from walls and think they can fly, you know. But so, you know, God has created us. And in Genesis 1, verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God has created us in his image. So one can surely say that the magnitude and depth of human potential, you know, must be awesome. You know, if an awesome God has created us in his image, then I'm sure he's got a big vision for us. And we should have a big vision as well. You know, there are millions of people that are born and they live and die and never discover this awesome potential that God has placed in every human being. If we are in a right relationship with God, there is big potential, you know, very big. So we mustn't restrict ourselves for what we can think, what we can imagine even, and we mustn't restrict ourselves by what others say we can do or can't do. You know, so it's, again, you know, one might say to the child, no, you can't become an astronaut, you know, you need to kind of spend so many years there and so many of this, that, but the child wants to become an astronaut, you know. So it's, in a way, that childlike behavior there is also something that we should take on, and because it will go beyond our current capabilities or that we think we have. You know, I had a thing here. I thought, oh, dare I use the word pregnant, you know. but our pastor's not here and his wife, so we can use it, you know. That everything is pregnant with the potential to become what it was created for. You know, every one of us has, you know, one wonders what, when God created everyone unique, and he said, you know, here's another one. It's just amazing when one thinks about it, that there are 6 billion people, and not two are alike. You know, and God has created everyone unique, has a unique plan for everyone, and those plans must be wonderful if he says, you know, he's got plans for us that are just above what we can even imagine. And if we want to experience a God's kingdom here in Swakopmund, I think we need to change and become like little children. And at first I thought, you know, so that we can become, I said, another Paul or David or Joseph or Moses, and I thought, no, we don't want to become another Paul or David or something. We want to become another, you know, not another. We want to become a Wolfgang. We want to become a Mark. You know, we want to become individuals and live out the plans that the Lord Jesus has for each and every one of us. And surely he has big plans for us. And the world, you know, the world needs us to live out those visions and those plans, you know. Because I was thinking, you know, the Lord came he gave his son to die on a cross so that we can be redeemed, so that we can live out our purpose. So if that was, you know, so important for him, then that we get redeemed and live out this purpose, then it is important that we live that out, that purpose, you know. You know, on Tuesday morning we prayed about the battle that you know, it needs to be fought and is that we are fighting, you know. But and we said there that God has equipped us with everything we need for this battle. He's created us so that we can fight this battle. So you know, but we have to take this step, that jump, have that passion, you know, have these big visions, and have no doubt no worries that that He will take care of us. And I just thought I share these few thoughts with you, and just want to ask that, you know, if you, there were these two verses right at the beginning, you know, where Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again to enter, to see the kingdom of heaven. Actually, that one verse says, you know, to see the kingdom of heaven. And I, when I read that, I thought, like, he must be born again to see. And then a little bit later, I read, you know, you must become like a child to enter. You know, it was almost a bit of a, you know, you first get born, and then you, and then you are a child, and then you enter, you know, this this kingdom. So if you know, if you are here this morning and you have not, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have not, you know, you could be a Nicodemus and say, oh, what do you mean? I've been born, you know, and you have not been born again and seen God's kingdom. You know, or if you feel that, you know, you have not become a child so that you can become who God really wants you to be, then I would, you know, I want to maybe ask Mark that you, you know, if you can play a bit of music. I want to, you know, I'm going to end, but if you want to come and you know, want prayer, talk about this childlike faith, I encourage you to do so. You know, we'll have some tea and coffee outside here on front of the building. If you want prayer, take that step. And I, you know, you're not coming, don't come to me. You know, it's come to your Father. You know, come to, like a child running to his parents. You know, be excited to come to him. Don't be too mature to not come, you know, or too grown up. And you know, let us be children. And it's something that I, obviously, as I said, you know, this challenges me very, very much as well, because, you know, we kind of often we cramp ourselves up, and we don't relax and let God do the work in us. So let us pray, and I ask that we'll end the service. But if you want to come up, I'll ask some of the leaders to come up, and we can pray, and we can ask God to really touch us. Let us pray. Oh Lord, our Dad, our Father, we are your children. Lord, you have big plans for us, and we want to come running towards you, Lord. We want to jump. We want to trust you, Lord. You have great plans. You have, Lord, things that we don't even think are possible, Lord. We know that you want them to happen in our lives, and Father, we pray that we indeed may change and become like little children, that we can enter the kingdom of heaven, that we can experience the kingdom right in this place, Lord, right in our home, Lord, in our workplace, in our school, Lord, wherever we are, Lord, that we can really take those steps, Lord, those childlike steps, Lord, and really not be afraid to be a fool, Lord, in other people's eyes, Lord, but we know it's great wisdom, Lord, in your sight. Father, we pray now that that you will, Lord, draw us, challenge us, Lord, and that we will indeed take those steps. We pray that that you will part us also with your blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.